Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Pei Tes. We're on Pei Ches Amud Beis. In the eighth parak of Baba Kama, we're having a lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding Chavala, a person damages another person. So we're talking about bodily harm. Under those circumstances, there is a requirement to pay for those damages. Opening Mishnah went and described the five payments. The Gemara, the opening sugya of the eighth parak, talked about how to assess, how to estimate how much those five categories are going to come out to in terms of the payment. So that was point number one of the eighth parak. That's been covered. Now we're having a discussion regarding there are certain people that are uncollectible. You cannot collect from them if they in fact do damage. Why? Because they don't have any assets. So children don't have assets. A shota doesn't have an asset. And a woman doesn't have assets. A woman is not going to be in a position where she can go and pay because she doesn't have assets. It brought us to the discussion of yesterday's daf. She doesn't have assets. So in other words, what if she goes into the marriage with assets? Right? In other words, otherwise known as nechsei malug. We discussed yesterday. A woman goes into a marriage and she has assets. She has nechsei malug assets. So why can't she use the nechsei malug to go ahead and to pay you? So the Gemara says, well, maybe because the nechsei malug assets that go into the marriage, that she brings into the marriage, so the husband has got king and peiros. In other words, he's going to be able to enjoy the dividends of any of the assets that go into the marriage. And maybe the husband's kinyan aperus is considered like he's a partner in those assets. Brought us to the machlokis yesterday of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, one of the classic machloksim that the Gemara goes over again and again, and that is how to understand how to analyze kinyan aperus. Kinyan aperus is kinyan aguf alavka kinyan aguf. In other words, the husband's rights to those assets. Does that make him a partner? Does that not make him a partner? Machlokis between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that kinyan aperus lav kinyan aguf. So although he has rights to the assets, but he's not a partner. So then the Gemara basically said, according to Reish Lakish, if that's true, so why wouldn't a woman have to pay? In the event that a woman does damages, she should have to pay. She has her nechsei malug, and why would she have to pay with her nechsei malug? So the answer that the Gemara arrived at yesterday is because of Takana Susha. What is Takana Susha? Takana Susha tells us that when a man and woman get married, so he is a lokeach rishon on her assets, meaning that in the event that she predeceases him, so what he's now going to be able to do is he's going to be able to be yorish her assets. And not only that, even if in the event that she sold the assets after they got married, he is first in line to go ahead and to collect those assets. He will be viewed as a lokeach rishon. So that means to say that when they get married and she brings a nechsei malug into the marriage because of Takana Susha, he is now going to be first in line to take those assets in the event that he gets to inherit them. And so therefore, back to the point of the Mishnah. Consequentially, she won't be able to sell those assets because who's going to buy an asset that ultimately is going to be taken away from them? Good. So this is what's called Takana Susha. So the Gemara goes over Takana Susha numerous times. In Ksuvas, obviously, we discussed it. So here in Baba Kama, the 8th Perek, so we're having a discussion of Takana Susha. In fact, today's Gemara is going to be dedicated almost exclusively to this topic of Takana Susha. First and foremost, is it a thing? So the Gemara yesterday, at the end of the Gemara's daf, said sure. In other words, it is an institution that was made by Beis Din in order to put the husband in a better position vis-a-vis his wife's assets. Good. So it is a thing. The Gemara is going to spend almost the entirety of today's daf going through a couple of Mishnayos and Brises throughout Shas that is going to prove that this, in fact, has to be considered a thing. And that's where we begin today. I'm going to show you a Mishnah that's going to prove that there is legislation, there is an institution called Takana Susha. How do I know that? Because of the following. We're on the top of Peites and Aleph. So ein omrim yishamu kol ksuvasa ela tovasanas ksuvasa. So this is one of the first Mishayos of Makos, and the Mishayos give case after case. They're in the first parak of Makos of Edim Zomimim. Edim Zomimim, what do we do to the Edim Zomimim? Vasisim lo kasher zomam lasos lachiv. Whatever they conspire to do, whatever they falsely accuse the guilty party of doing, so and they were discovered to be Edim Zomimim, so the punishment is that you're going to turn the entire accusation around on them. You turn the gun right around at them and you shoot them with whatever they wanted to shoot the intended defendant. So let's say their charge was the death penalty. They're going to receive the death penalty. Let's say the charge was makos. They're going to receive makos. And let's say the charge is mammon. They're going to receive mammon. The Mishnah in makos goes over a complicated scenario of, well, let's say they try to level an accusation at a woman. That she is losing her ksuva. Ah. So, and meanwhile, all the charges were totally trumped up. They were totally fabricated. And the second set of witnesses said, "How do you make such an accusation?" Imanu hayisim emakom ploni. You were with us at the time, and now it turns out that their entire accusation was false. So now, what are you going to do? Whatever they wanted to cause her to lose, they're going to lose. So far, so good. That is easy. Now, here's where it gets complicated. In other words, their accusation is that she's not entitled to her ksuva. What is right now the current value of her ksuva? Now, her ksuva is a promissory note. In other words, in the event that either he divorces her or he predeceases her, so now she's going to be collecting. Not only that, but the ksuva also was going to represent assets as well. Nechzei melug, nechzei tzon barzel. But all this is going to be collected, but only if... Let's say, for example, he doesn't predecease her, but she predeceases him. Is that ksuva going to be a collectible instrument? No, it's not. In other words, because she predeceases him, so there's not going to be any collection of the ksuva. So, we're looking at an instrument right now, this ksuva, which may be a collectible asset, may not, otherwise known as speculative. So that ksuva currently right now is a speculative document. It's a speculative note. So what is its current market value? The answer is very simple. Get an actuary into the room, And crunch the numbers, and assess how much is someone willing to pay for that risk of that note. There is going to be a futures market of that note, and someone's going to pay money for it. Obviously, not face value. Obviously, significantly less than face value, because it may end up that you're not collecting any of it. So what you do is you discount the note, and whatever the discounted value of that note is, that is going to be the appraised current market value of that note. And that now is what we're going to say to the Edim Zomimim. You wanted to lose a ksuva. So what we'll do is we'll factor the current value of the note. And whatever that value is, that's what we're going to make the Edim Zomimim pay. Simple. That's the Mishnah Makos. But good. Now that we know the Mishnah Makos, so the Gemara now makes the following comment. So... Did I finish reading? Eizu hu tovus hanat suvasa. I don't think I finished reading. Yeah?
The second one.
Okay. Ein omrim. Good. Ein omrim yishamen nekol suvasa la tovus hanat suvasa. So we don't ask Eidim Zomim to pay the face value of the ksuva, but rather tovus hanat. This factored value. So eizu hu tovus hanat suvasa. Good. And what is the factored value? Om dim kam adam rosti li ten b'ksuva shel zu. She and Miss Armelo and his Garsha. So, in Mesa, Yershina Bala. So, in other words, the ksuva may be a totally uncollected note in the event that she predeceases him. So, you're going to be collecting zero. In other words, again, like I said, you get an actuary to come and figure out what exactly is going to be the current market value of this note, considering the fact that there's risk involved in purchasing said note.
If she was a basula, it would be worth more.
Whatever the case is, in other words, it's a risk, and therefore you're going to be discounting its face value. That's the point of the Gemara, but that's only the point of the Mishnah and Makos. Now our Gemara is going to go next level, meaning now once you know the Mishnah and Makos, now Gemara wants to know.
She's living with him.
It's going to be important. Well, let's wait just a moment for that. The Gemara is going to address your point. So the Gemara says, now, if there is no Takana Susha, so let's imagine for a moment a world where there is no Takana Susha. So the Gemara says, so if that were in fact the case, so now what would that mean? That would mean now that she can go ahead and she could sell off her Nechse Malug at its face value. So what the Gemara now wants to know is, why is the Mishnah Makos telling us that we're going to be discounting the face value? If, in fact, Nichse Malug can be sold, and the buyer can now go ahead and collect all the nichsei malug, because there is no takana susha, so then she should be able to be selling that ksuva at face value, not a discounted amount. So, excuse me, I'm sorry. So the Gemara therefore arrives at the conclusion, hence there must be takana susha, meaning by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah over there is assuming that she cannot sell at face value but only discounted value, it's because of takana susha, because no one is going to want to buy her nichsei malug, considering the fact that in the event that she predeceases the husband now is just simply going to go ahead and take the nichsei malug as per takana susha. That is the Gemara's proof that there must be takana susha. So Amar Abai, so Abai says, look, if all you have is just a Mishnah Makos, you've proven nothing. Why? Because im Amar b'nechse malog, yamar b'nechse tzom barzal. Look, in when a woman goes into a marriage, so assets can either be bundled as nechse malog, or they can be bundled as nechse tzom barzal. Okay, and when we went through Ksuvas, we discussed this at length. But right now, we'll discuss it briefly. And that is that either nechse malog means that it's still hers. And what the husband does is that the husband has rights to the peiros. That's one option. The other option is nechsei tzom barzel. Nechsei tzom barzel, basically the assets become his, but with the responsibility and the obligation, where they're going to be appraised at the time of the marriage. The value of it is going to be written into the ksuva. And what he will do is that in the event that he's going to have to pay ksuva, he will be paying that appraised value. But that those assets become totally the husband's, and in the event that she predeceases him, he keeps those items. So, nifsei tzom barzel, is that an instrument that she could sell while they're married? The answer, of course, is unequivocally no. They are not hers, they are his, and she can't sell that. So the Mishnah Makos is saying, you know, she can't sell it at its face value. Of course she can't sell it at its face value. Meaning we wanted to make an entire argument that the Mishnah Makos speaks to Takana Susha. The Gemara is basically saying it has nothing to do with Takana Susha. The Mishnah Makos is describing Nifsei Tzom Barzel. Nifsei Tzom Barzel, she cannot sell at face value. Do you know why she can't sell at face value? Because they're not hers. They're his. Now again, in the event that he predeceases her, so then the estate, or in the event that he divorces her, either the estate or him is going to be paying out the nichsei tzom barzel. But that's only one possibility. The other possibility, of course, is that she predeceases him. In that event, he keeps the nichsei tzom barzel. So can she sell nichsei tzom barzel at face value? The answer obviously is no. She won't be able to sell nichsei tzom barzel at face value. That's what the Mishnah Makos is describing, having nothing to do with Takana Susha. You wanted to bring the Mishnah Makos to prove Takana Susha. The Gemara is saying, Abai is saying, it's no proof. I'm Rabbi. Okay, so right now we're gonna just pause for just a moment in the Gemara. All we've been doing so far this morning is try to give a case that we could see Takana Susha in the Mishnayos, and we cited the Mishnah Makos, and the Gemara basically sidestepped and said it's not a proof. Okay, now we're talking about factoring a ksuva and selling it based on the fact that there is risk involved. Tova Sana. So Tova Sana, Rabbi Tova Sana, hold out Sali Adanim Abba Milsa Tova Sana, Leisha Havia. So the Gemara says, just for a little bit of a detour, let's say she does sell the Ksuva at Tova Sana. Again, there's a risk involved. It is an instrument that she can sell. It's an asset that she can sell. It's paper. And she sells the paper at a discounted rate. Who is going to be able to collect that money? So Abai says, I think it's clear that she's going to be the one collecting. Why is Akadach Labal Havia Lemerle Edemav? See this, he have a Mizamta Lel Tova Sana Bal Havia Shakaminach. Abai just simply wants to make the following deduction. Obviously, that when she sells the Tova Sana, she's going to be able to collect that money. In other words, that money's not going to go to the husband. If you want to argue for just a moment that the money's going to go to the husband, so let's go back to our Mishnah Makos. The Edem Zomimim. Edem Zomimim, you accused her of having been paid her ksuva. You fabricated, you made that up. So now what we're going to do is that accusation, you're now going to turn around, you're going to pay her. What are you paying her? The factored value of the ksuva, the reduced rate of the ksuva based on the risk. Good. Now, if she is not going to be the recipient of that money, if it's only going to be the husband, so now the Edom Zomimim have what seems to be an unbelievable argument. Why in the world are you having us pay her, right, the the accused amount. In other words, she's not the one that's collecting that amount. It's the husband collecting that amount. Therefore, it does not represent any kind of loss to her. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shalman." So Mishum Dika Revach Besa. So the Gemara says, "No, that is not enough proof to say that she is the one collecting the Tovas Hana payment. Why? Because maybe we can argue the following: the Tovas Hana payment, if she sells a note at a reduced value, maybe we can still argue that money is going to go to the husband." And why then is it serving still as a loss to her? Because consider the fact that she and her husband are married, and now they're running a house together. In other words, they're running like a little corporation together. It's called their home. And that little corporation that they're running together, so what happens when there's more money coming into the home? More money coming into the home, happier people. Okay, money does not buy happiness, but it certainly puts a down payment on happiness. In other words, correct. It absolutely helps. So in other words, as per the question of, well, if the money's not going to go to her, it's going to go to the husband, why is that a loss to her? The answer is because that's less revenue being brought into the house. That's revach besa, and that is a loss to her. In other words, obviously the home would be much happier if there's more money coming into the home. So we don't have definitive proof, meaning it's certainly the more reasonable argument is that if she sold her ksuva at face value, the reduced value. So if she sold it, it certainly is reasonable to suggest that the money's going to go to her, but we don't have proof positive that that's in fact the case. Amarav Hilchas HaTovas Hana Leisha, the Ein HaBal Ochel Peros, Maitama Per Tekin L'Rabbanan, Per Deper Lo Tekin L'Rabbanan. And the Gemara says, and on this particular point, we're going to conclude that if she goes ahead and sells off her ksuva at reduced value, so at discounted value, so she's going to be collecting that money. And not only that, but that asset now that she has, that money now that she has, in exchange for the whatever discounted value of the ksuva, that money is hers, and her husband has nothing regarding that money. Meaning he won't be able to take dividends off of that money. Why? Because when the rabbis enacted that the husband gets peros, the husband only gets peros, but the husband does not get peros to peros. The husband will not be entitled to derivatives of the principal. Only the actual dividends, but not derivatives that come off of that. Okay, that's the so the rabbi's conclusion is that she's going to be receiving payment for her discounted rate of the ksuva that she sold, and the husband gets nothing. Okay, there is a discussion here in Tosfos, second Tosfos, or actually it's the first Tosfos, Perei de Perei, in terms of understanding what exactly the husband's entitled to in terms of dividends and what is considered a derivative that the husband is not entitled to. Right? The Tosfos over here goes over, it's obviously a little bit complicated, but the Tosfos is asserting that we don't unequivocally say that the husband gets no derivatives. In other words, there are some derivatives that the husband's entitled to. There are some derivatives that the husband's not entitled to. See Tosfos, who goes over that point. Anyway, but the Gemara's conclusion is that Tovas Hana, the wife can sell her ksuva at a reduced rate. In other words, not face value, but at a reduced rate because it's a risk. And she goes in and she collects the money. That's the Gemara's conclusion. All that was just a detour because we were discussing Tovas Hana. Okay, Ki Asura Papa, we are back in the Gemara, Pei Tesamat Aleph. So the Gemara now is going to try this again. Show me a Mishnah in Shas that clearly indicates that there is this institution called Takanas Usha. And he says, I'll give you a Mishnah, and that is our Mishnah. Let's go back to our Mishnah, back on Pei Zion. The Mishnah says that any confrontation with a woman or an Eved, so it's going to be bad, meaning it's going to be an uncollectible obligation. Chovah Bahen Chayev, meaning if you go ahead and you damage them, you're going to be Chayev. On the other hand, Vehem Shechavah Bahachir Peturim, but if they go ahead and do damage, they're going to be Pater because they don't have money. They have no funds available to pay you. Now, Isa Gedacha Leisel of Takana Susha Tismay Nechse Malug, Vetitain Lay. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Had there not been Takana Susha, what do you mean she doesn't have assets? Doesn't she have Nechse Malug? So in other words, if she goes and damages somebody else, so then what she should do is she should sell her nechse malug, and then with the money that she now has acquired through the sale of her nechsim aluk. She should now pay the obligation. Why aren't we saying that? Because she can't sell her nechsim aluk. Why can't she sell her nechsim aluk? Takanas usha. Takanas usha is going to prevent her from selling her nechsim aluk. There you have it. The Mishnah here in Baba Kama clearly is a demonstration of takanas usha. Okay. The Gemara is going to push back. Ulita'amech. The Gemara says, are you sure about this? So nihi nami diisela tekarasusha v'lamasi mezavna legamri tizvan lenechsim alug b'tovasana v'titein lei yela deleisla achadami deleisla. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Selling her nechsim alug is out of the question because of tekarasusha. She can't sell her nechsim alug. I get it. The Gemara says, but again, nechsim alug could be sold as a speculative instrument. In other words, let's say she can't sell her nechsim alug, but can't she go to somebody who's open to the idea of risk and say, look, I can't sell you my nechsim alug because in the event that I die before my husband's going to be collecting all that nechsim alug and you're going to get nothing. But that's one option. Of course, the other option is that my husband will die before I do. And if in fact that's the case, then the nechsim alug now comes back to me, which means now that you're going to buy it. So I'll tell you what I'll do right now in my married state. What I'll do is I'll sell you my nechsim alug and we'll discount the face value of whatever the appraised value of the nechsim alug is because of the risk involved. So even though she can't sell nechsim alug at face value, can she sell nechsim alug at a discounted rate? And if in fact that's the case, so why not have her sell her nechsim alug per tovasana and then pay the chavala? So the Gemara says, well, ela deleisla. I'll tell you why, because she doesn't have any nechsim alug. She came into the marriage penniless. She came into the marriage without assets. So hachinami, the deleisla. The Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then there's no longer proof of our Mishnah. We wanted to use our Mishnah to show, takana susha. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. you just suggested, because of the question that we just asked, you said that our Mishnah is talking about a case where there's no nechsim alug. Oh, so if there's no nechsim alug, so we can't prove takana susha. So the Gemara says, v'tiz ben k'suvasa, b'tova sana'a, v'titein lei. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Even if she comes into the marriage with no assets whatsoever, she didn't come into the marriage with nechsim alug, still, there's another part of the ksuva, the base value of the ksuva, the mana masayim, the 100, 200 zuz, that she stands to collect in the event that he divorces her or he predeceases her. Oh, mana masayim, so that is a face value of the ksuva, where if you can now go to a potential buyer and sell that at a discount. So in other words, forget nechsim alug. Let's totally forget about nechsim alug. The mana masayim is going to have a speculative market value. It will have a reduced market value. So wait 1 second, I'm totally befuddled. You're telling me that if a woman does damage, she doesn't pay. Why? Because she has no money. What do you mean she has no money? She has a ksuva, which at least is going to be mana masayim, either 100 or 200. Right? 100 if she came into the marriage already having been married, or 200 if she comes in as a basula. But in other words, there's a base amount to the ksuva of 100, 200. And that's going to have a market value. In other words, that could be sold factored at a discounted rate. And so why not just demand of her, oh, wait 1 second, you did damage? Sell the tova sana of your mana masayim. So the Gemara says, Hamani Rebbe Meir. Rav Chaim, now the Gemara is going to get to your point. So the Gemara says, "Hamani Rabbi Meir da Amar Esol Aladim Shisha Esishto Afilo Asha Achas V'Lo Ksuvasa." The Gemara says, "No, she can't sell Manim Asayim. Do you know why she can't sell Manim Asayim? Because then she's married without a safety net. Being married without a safety net, according to Rabbi Meir, is an Isser. A woman cannot be married without a Ksuva Aser Lo Aladim Shisha Esishto Afilo Asha Achas V'Lo Ksuvasa." So, in other words, according to Rabbi Meir, this can't be done. So therefore, we can't demand of her to be selling her manim asayim aspect of the ksuva, even at a reduced rate. So the Gemara says, "Time amai kedesh lo te kala bein avlosia achal lo megarishla di megarishla aso hanef de zavni vegabla luksuva mine." So the Gemara says, "Well, I'm going to push back because what's the reason of Rebbe Meir? Meaning, let's understand Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says a woman can't be married without a ksuva. Why not? Because we need a safety net." No, that's not it. In other words, we need a safety net. In other words, the husband comes home after a long day at work, and what happened? Dinner is not good. It's not good. And so at that point in time, he's thinking to himself, look, I like her, but in other words, but dinner's a disaster. And what do you want me to do? You want me to continue living with this woman? That's crazy. Right? Sorry, I'm being a little bit silly, but please bear with me. So, but dinner's a disaster. I'm not gonna remain married to this woman. So the and if there is no consequence of divorcing her, if there's no financial consequence, so then, in other words, he's with that silly thought in mind that dinner was not up to par. So what he's going to do is he's going to say, look, in other words, I'm dismissing you, right? I'm divorcing you. So in other words, the ksuva is going to make him think more than a second about, hey, wait one second. You divorce her, you know what's going to happen. Mana Masayim, you're going to be paying at least 100 to 200 zuz, which, you know, obviously is a good amount of money. That's going to make him think twice before divorcing her. That is the reason behind Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, then her selling, the factored reduced rate of the ksuva, in other words, Reb Meir should still be happy, because now, if he divorces her, is he going to have to pay ksuva? Sure, just not to her, to whoever the buyer of the ksuva is. So in other words, even if she were to sell the ksuva at a factored value, so nevertheless, Reb Meir is still going to be happy. So again, we're back to, let's reset the question. She does damage. She owes somebody money because of the damage that she did. She should have to pay. She doesn't have money. No problem. She has a ksuva. She should sell her ksuva. Again, she won't get face value of a dollar for the ksuva. That's right. It's a risk. But in other words, good. But as paper, we'll just simply factor the paper, and she should sell it at the reduced rate and pay for the damages. And you're telling me, Shitas Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's not going to be bothered by this. In other words, the ksuva is serving as a safety net for her. The ksuva will still remain serving as a safety net for her. Ella, Tovas Anamili Ninu Milu Mishabde. The Gemara over here has a fascinating idea, which is going to entertain for just a moment. And that is, well, do you know that if she owes money to somebody, so do you know what has a shibud against it? So obviously she has to pay, but she doesn't have money. So what about her assets? The Gemara right now for a moment is thinking that if she can't sell asset at face value, and she can only sell the asset at a reduced value, the Gemara calls it Mile, which literally translates as, it's just words. And the Gemara for a moment now is thinking that if whatever she has cannot be sold at face value, that is not encumbered to her obligations. That's what the Gemara thinks for a moment. Alam alo, the Gemara says, okay, but as much as you're suggesting it, the Gemara says, I'm rejecting it. Mila de mizdavne bidinari nenu. Gemara says, can it be sold? Yes. I can be sold only at a reduced rate? Don't care. In other words, if something has a market value, even though it's reduced, it is called an instrument. It's called an asset. And so therefore, Gemara basically says, wonderful suggestion, I dismiss it. In other words, it is an asset. So back to square one. She does damage. The Mishnah in Baba Kama tells us that we did 2 days ago, 3 days ago, that 3 days ago. The Mishnah tells us that Pigas on Ra. She can't pay because she doesn't have money. Why not? In other words, her ksuva has a market value, albeit reduced, but it has a market value. Let her sell her ksuva at the reduced rate and pay the damages. So, Ela Mishim Dishmol, Damer Shmol, Mocher Sharchov Lechavero Machlo Machol, Ve'afilo Yaresh Mochel. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you why it is that we're not going to ask her, demand of her to pay her ksuva, to sell her ksuva. And with that money that she gained, go ahead and pay the chavala. I'll tell you why. Because of Shmuel's rule that we cover again and again throughout Shas. We did this in Seder Nashim numerous times, and here in Seder Nezikin, we're also going to be doing this numerous times as well. And that is the rule of Shmuel is that when you sell a note, you still are attached to the note that you sold. In that, you could forgive the debt. Okay. In our modern American system, it's such a foreign idea to us. In other words, when you sell a note, the buyer of that note has bought debt, and now the seller of the note has absolutely nothing to do with that note anymore. He sold the debt to you. You now are the purchaser of that debt. It's such a foreign idea to us. But as far as halach is concerned, Shmuel says that the seller of debt still is attached to that debt, and he could forgive that debt. Okay, is it a nice thing to do? Absolutely.
The seller of the debt
can go ahead and still forgive that debt.
Even though you bought it?
Yeah. That look is perfect, by the way.
It's a big loophole.
Buying debt is not an unusual circumstance.
Because you can buy notes. Banks do it all the time.
Yes.
You borrow money on a mortgage, they sell your note to other banks. They pool it.
Okay.
So it's not an unusual circumstance. But the person who originated the debt initially, if he sells the note, he no longer has any rights to it.
Okay, good.
Just kind of like the...
Good. So now what Alan's wrapping his head around the idea that this is really strange.
Yeah.
In other words, Shmuel's rule is really strange. Good. It's strange to us because it's not the way we operate. But Shmuel's halacha, however, goes unchanged, despite the fact that I got that look from you. But it's fine. I appreciate it, meaning it is strange to us. But according to Shmuel, the one who sold the debt is still attached to that debt. He can go ahead and forgive it. So over here,
discounted because of that concern.
It's worse than that. Meaning, forget discounting the note. Meaning, if she goes ahead and she sells that debt, and she still has the right to forgive that debt, so the Gemara is going to say, we're going to see in just a moment, right? In other words, if this is your first time you're hearing Shmuel, by the way, for sure, right, your head is going to be spinning, and for sure.
This is like transferring the property, and the person with peros has the right to decide whether you sell it or not.
Okay. Anyway, let's wrap our head around it. I know it's hard to wrap our heads around it. So that means now that when she is right now the holder of that debt, she's holding that note. It's called the ksuva, and she goes ahead and she sells it. So Shmuel tells us that she could still forgive that note. And now, so what are we saying? We're saying now that she's going to go ahead and sell it, but with the ability to still forgive it. So now, let me ask my potential buyers out there. Hey, anyone want to buy this note? Oh, don't worry. We'll reduce it. We'll reduce its value because it's a risk. Oh, and let me then now add one other point, and that is that she could forgive at any point in time. So now, what we've taken now is we've taken this instrument, and now where we've set the value of this instrument right now, pretty much at zero. Who's going to want to buy this instrument? Gemara's point. So Amre, so. I'm sorry, Vafila Yosh Mokal. So Amri, so in the yeshiva, so they're thinking about this problem, and they say the following, Zavuni Zavin, she'll sell it to and Levi Yimachla, Gabi Baal, Timchala. So the Gemara says, okay, well, what I'll just simply say is that, look, it's a risk. It's a risk. But it's not going to take it and move the note down to zero. In other words, it'll just simply be factored into the note, and it'll just simply be now one of the considerations of reducing its face value. But we don't know for sure she's gonna forgive. So Amre kol gabe ba vade machal avsedilo zvina biadaim lo avsedinu. And the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what though? I think her chances of forgiving are pretty high. Why? Because right now, currently, she's married, and she likes her husband currently. And she goes ahead and she sells the note, and her husband says to her, "Look, right, how are we doing in terms of our marriage? We're doing okay. Do me a favor." In other words, you're no longer the owner of the ksuva. You don't own the debt anymore. Somebody else bought it from you. Can you do me a favor? Could you please forgive it? And right now, in their marital bliss, she's like, of course, why not? I got nothing to lose.
Well, she's already taken the money.
Yeah. So now v'chitem asvin in the alelu dechavle bei betovas ana. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's at least do the following. In other words, look, she damaged somebody. Let her at least give the note over to him. In other words, as a collectible asset to go ahead and represent payment for her obligation. So the Gemara says, well, if that's sure, I'm sorry, the chavla be betova sana, de'i machla legabe ba'al lo kamafsid, hashtanami lo midikayavile. So the Gemara says, well, now at this point in time, she goes ahead and she forgives it. So in other words, she's going to be forgiving it to the agreed party, and it'll just simply come back and it'll collect again.
You can give a note for Nezek?
Yeah. In other words, again, if it has a value, so whatever its value is, meaning...
But Nezek has to come from Zibor's karka.
That's only if you're paying with karka. In other words, but what you can do, right, we saw this at the beginning of the Masechta, what you can do is you can pay with anything of value. You can pay with metal.
Good business model.
So the Gemara... Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Sof kol gabi bal vade machla v'atchuchu beidina bechti lo mitrachinan." So the Gemara says, "Because we know she's going to forgive it. We know she's going to forgive it. We're not guessing. We're not speculating. We know she's going to forgive it. And now, basically, what you're going to do is that you're going to create a lot of paperwork for no reason whatsoever. She did damage. She's got a note. She's going to give the note over to the grief party, And now she's going to forgive it. And you did all this for what? So that Beis Din now will be spending hours and hours of just paperwork. It's all, it's absurd. So the Gemara says, so Ella had the Tanya fine. Whew. So that was a long trip to understanding our Mishnah Baba Kama. Our Mishnah Baba Kama is telling us that when a woman does damage, she doesn't pay. Why? Because she doesn't have any assets. So the Gemara says, what about the Nechse Malug? So we went back and forth on Takana Susha. There is Takana Susha. There isn't Takana Susha. Okay, that's on the Nechse Malug. And let's assume that there is Takana Susha. So the Nechse Malug is a non-sellable entity. Good. What about Mana Masayim? What about the 100, 200? She owns debt. So in other words, isn't that a sellable item? So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's a sellable item, but with a value currently of zero. Why? Because she's going to forgive that debt. In other words, the rule of Shmuel is that when you sell debt, you're still attached to that note, even though you sold it. And so therefore, you have the ability to forgive it. And a woman who sells her ksuva, so what the husband's going to do is ask her to forgive. And of course she's going to forgive. Why wouldn't she forgive? She's not going to be the beneficiary and the recipient of the note. She'll forgive it. Rendering the value of the ksuva down to zero. Okay.
Well, also, more importantly, why would you allow anyone to buy it? Because, you know, money.
Right, but we're not.
It's not for sure, but there's a downside to it. They're going to get paid when they get a discount.
The likelihood of her forgiving is very high, and the buyers are risking their money. You're putting people in a situation.
Good. So they're going to pay pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. So Ella haditanya vechini shechavla babala ifsida ksuvasa amaitis vanini ala ksuvasa labala betovatana. So the Gemara says, okay, well, what about this? The Brisa tells us, what if she hits her husband? She hits her husband, she damages her husband, and now she's going to be owing money to her husband. So under those circumstances, so why not simply say now that what she should do is that she should go ahead now, sell the ksuva, whatever the discounted face value, whatever the discounted rate of the ksuva, not the face value of the ksuva, whatever the discounted rate is, and go ahead now and pay her husband with that. And what's going to be the argument over here? Mechila, she's going to forgive. In other words, it's her husband right now who is indebted. So as far as he's concerned, if she's mochel, even better for him.
Why would she have to sell it in that case? Why can't she just give it right there to him and he gains the value?
Interesting. The ksuva is not something that she can currently forgive. In other words,
because she can't live without it.
Well, we're going to get to that point in just a moment.
Right.
So havadai Rabbi Meir damar asol adam shisha esisha afilu sha achas below ksuva. So time amai kedesh lo te kala bein avlozia hacha megarish la and gabi le bechav lamina. The Gemara says, yeah, but if let's say she hits her husband. And let's say, in lieu of payment, now what she does is that she sells the ksuva, and with whatever money she gains, she goes, she's going to pay her husband. And let's say subsequently she now were to forgive. So now there is absolutely zero safety net. And now what the husband's going to do is the husband's going to divorce her, and that for sure would now trip Rabbi Meir. So e hachi hashanami migarish la and gabile bechav lamina. So the Gemara says, okay, well, I don't understand. Meaning that in the event that she owes him money because of damages that she did to him, and now if the ksuva only represents basically the amount owed, so now I don't understand. According to Rabbi Meir, no longer a safety net. He'll divorce her and ksuva? Yeah, but you owe me chavala. So the Gemara says kagon de nafish ksuva sa mishum de uporta lo mafsituva. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the ksuva amount is higher than the amount of the damages. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's just play around a little bit with the numbers. What is the base amount of a ksuva? 100, 200. Okay? Well, I'm just going to go with 100. In other words, because that's the minimum the ksuva could be as far as the base amount. So let's say that when he married her, so he not only wrote into the ksuva the 100 base amount, but he added more on top of that. So in other words, what a woman can do under those circumstances is that the woman can go ahead and sell. Not the base amount, because then she would no longer have a safety net, and then you would be offending, that would be problematic towards Rebbe Meir. But what she could do is that if there's any surplus of the ksuva above the base amount, that she could sell at a discounted rate and use that to pay. So the Gemara says, "Kegondelo nifish ksuvasa." Miksuvasa daraisa davi chaval arbe zuzin demisham arbe arba lo mafsid esrim v'chamisha. So the Gemara says, okay, so it could very well be that the numbers over here is that the amount that she owes her husband for chavala was only 4 zuz. The base amount of the ksuva, the Gemara calls it here over here 25, but 25 dinarim is equal to 100 zuz. In other words, he owes, the Gemara is just assuming that we're working with a base amount of 100 zuz. So let's say he would be indebted to her 100 zuz. The chavala amount is only 4 zuz. He's not going to go ahead and divorce her and be able to collect 4 zuz and have to pay her 96 zuz. That doesn't make any financial sense. So Ella had the tiny kishem shlo timkar vihitachtav. Kachlo tavsid hazimna mishkachla demifsa de kagon nafish kizuva samik suva daraisa. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, but there will be circumstances where the ksuva will far exceed the base amount. So Amarava Sefazu Asan Ksuva's been in Dichrin. Vahikhtani, the Gemara says, no, the end of the price over there had nothing to do with a case in which her ksuva exceeded base amount. The end of the price had to do with a totally different topic, which is ksuva's been in Dichrin. Vahikhtani Kishem Shamokheris Ksuvas Alacherim. Lo yisida ksuvas ben indirchen, my taima zuzu du ansua. So kach mocher ksuvas alabala lo yisida ksuvas ben indirchen, my taima zuzu du ansua. The institution of ksuvas ben indirchen, which is that in the event that a woman dies and the husband inherits her estates, her assets, and let's say he's married to multiple women and they have children from from those multiple women, and they die leaving all the assets to him. And now he dies, and all the assets now are going to be inherited by the children of her and her. So Ksuvas ben Indichrin tells us the following. We went over this in Ksuvas at length. I'm doing this right now in really short order. And that is that before the estate is divided, so first things first, how much did your mother leave over? How much did your mother leave over? They're going to get their mother's nichse malug first and foremost. Then whatever's the remainder of the estate will be distributed evenly amongst all the children. Okay, this is the institution of Ksuvas ben Indichrin. That's what the end of the Braisa was talking about. And all the Braisa is saying is that if a woman were to sell her Ksuva, she does not relinquish the Ksuvas ben Indichrin right. That is still going to be retained. That's the only thing the Braisa at the end is telling us, having nothing to do with what happens in the event that her Ksuva exceeds the base amount. Okay, what did we do today? Honestly, one task. And we kind of, the Gemara kind of, I know it's succeeded in that task. A little bit open-ended question, but in other words, the Gemara just wanted to know Takana Zusha, where when a woman gets married and she comes into the marriage with nichse malug, and the husband now becomes a first buyer of that nichse malug, which means that she goes and she sells that nichse malug and she dies, husband can go ahead and repossess because he's first in line. That's Takana Zusha. Great. Can I show you a Mishnah somewhere in Shas that proves it? As a summary of today's daf, the Mishnah Makos, which we went over in the Amud Aleph of today's daf, kind of proves it, but not necessarily. The Mishnah in Baba Kama, where a woman does damages and we're not asking her to sell her ksuva, why not? Oh, because of Takana Susha. A little bit better. But the Gemara pushed back on that as well. But anyway, that's what we tried to accomplish today. We tried to show Takana Susha through a Mishnah. First in Makos and then in Baba Kama. I'd come.